This is an exciting morning. We've got our ministry fair today, and we'll be leaving these booths up for a week or two. And this is all tied into, you know, we traditionally try to do an annual ministry fair, but we're doing it today in particular because of the passage of Scripture that we're talking about today. And so if you have your Bibles, if you'd open up to 1 Corinthians 12. Last week we talked about the first section, 1 through 11 there, and about how that God has given us all what the heading probably in your Bible says spiritual gifts. If you're okay with writing your Bible, I'd just say mark out spiritual, just erase it and write grace. Grace gifts. Because God gives every single one of us a talent, an ability, and a gift to use for Him. That's what we learned last week. So Paul, he's trying to, in that first part of chapter 12 there, he's trying to get people to understand that everybody has a gift and there is an equality there with God. There's an equality given by God. Let's not start teaching heresy here. All right, equality here given by God. And now he's going to get into the whole thing about the church and how these gifts are to be used. So if you're there, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, let's read this together this morning. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, oh, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning with word in hand, and we ask that you would speak to us. And not just speak to us, but Lord, that you would open our ears and open our heart to what you have to say. And Father, may we be encouraged by your word, or may we be convicted, whichever is needed. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Paul began this with comparing the body, the church body, the body of Christ, to a physical body. So one of the first things that we need to understand is that every disciple, every person who calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ, is a member of the body of Christ. And there are two bodies of Christ in a sense. There is the big C church, which is all the churches in all the world, and there's the little C church, which are individual congregations. And I think that Paul, because he is speaking directly to the Corinthians, is leaning on the side of little C church here. Because there's issues, as we've discovered. There's issues within the Corinthian church. There are divisions. There are people thinking they're mightier and better than others. So I think he's really talking about the little C church here. And it is important for each of us to understand, every person that is in this room today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you call yourself a disciple, you are a member of KCC. Now, you may not have officially given your membership, committed yourself, but if you call this your church home, if you come here on a regular basis, you are a member of the body of Christ. Important to understand.
Amen. Okay.
The other thing that I want us to see is we are all equal in God's eyes and equally important as members of Jesus' body. Verses 12 to 13, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Whenever Paul says this phrase, or something similar to it, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, man or woman, the message that he is conveying is a message of we are equal in God's eyes. And there is nothing about us that makes us better than anybody else. We are equal. And even though that some may have some what seem to be really great gifts and others seem to have what might be considered lesser gifts, to God, it doesn't matter what kind of a gift you have. You are a creation of His. Created in His image, you have infinite value and worth, and you are equal. And that is a mentality that God wants the entire body to have. That each of us is equal. There is no rich or poor. There is no black or white. There is no intelligent and not intelligent. I mean, in God's eyes, we're equal. No one should think that the gift, talent, or ability that God has given them is useless or not as important as someone else's. You know, this is probably one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Not so much because for me it's personally convicting or anything, but as a pastor, whether it was doing youth group or being the senior pastor, this verse probably speaks to me more than any, because my heart really aches when the body of Christ cannot fully do what God has designed it to do. And Paul is actually giving reasons why churches don't accomplish all that they can accomplish. And one of the reasons is because there are people in the body itself who say, I'm nothing. I'm just a big toe. What use is a big toe? Nobody sees the big toe. And if they do, it's not something they often, you know, admire, look at, say, that is just a wonderful big toe. That is a wonderful big toe you have. That is just beautiful. We don't do that. So, you know, I don't want to be a big toe. I want to be a voice. And not just any voice, I want to be a voice that can carry a melody and that can cause people to cry and weep. I want to be a voice. This is what Paul is talking about. There's people in the church who do this, who say, my gift, my ability, my talent is nothing. It's nothing. What can God possibly do? Oh, I so wish I was something else. You know, if we think this way, if we don't see our gift as being important, and remember, this is a grace gift. this is a gift that was given to you by God, creator, sustainer, master of the universe. It's not He-Man, it's God. Okay? This is a gift that was given to you by Him. Who are you to take your gift and throw it back in God's face and say, this is not acceptable. I want something better. That's what Paul's getting at here. When Paul says, for the body does not consist of one member but of many, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand and do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Just because you may think that you've got some gift that is useless, I'll tell you what, it doesn't mean that you're not a part of this body. You're still a part of this body, and you're still needed. You know, some of the little tiny members of our bodies that seem to be insignificant really play a major role. If we didn't have our big toes, it would be awfully hard to walk. We'd be kind of like, you know, we couldn't lean over, we'd fall over, it'd be kind of hard to walk. If we didn't have that little tiny bone in our ear, the smallest bone in the body, it seems so insignificant, seems so, you know, why do we need that thing? We wouldn't be able to hear. Some of those little tiny parts of the body are what help the rest. I mean, they're essential. They're needed. Okay? So I want you to understand, you may be one of those people who think, man, I don't have anything to offer God. You do have something to offer God. Never, ever, ever say you don't have anything to offer God. If you're doing that, you're throwing His gift back in His face and saying it's unacceptable. Who are you to say that? Amen? Amen. Each member of Jesus' body needs to see all members as being equally important. The other problem that was going on, not only were there people in the body who were saying, my gift is nothing, it can't be used, there were people who were saying, yeah, you're right. You are just a big toe, that's it. You, we don't need you. And they were giving people the actual impression that they weren't needed. How awful is that? We call ourselves the body of Christ, and yet we have people walking around who are giving the impression that, you're useless. You're a piece of garbage. And they fail to see the infinite worth and infinite value that we were created in. Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Let me tell you, this week was a busy week, trying to get all this ready. I had to do a booth myself. I had a funeral popped up at the last minute, so yesterday I did a funeral. Several things that were just going on. And last night, Tammy and I totally forgot. I didn't print out your outlines that you have today. I didn't print those out for Saturday night. They didn't have those. And these sheets that were passed out to help you kind of identify your gift, I totally forgot about those. So Tammy and I stayed here till about, I think, 11 o'clock printing these things out and stuff. And it was hitting me. I'm like, here I am talking about, you know, everybody has a place in the body and everybody has to do their part and stuff. And here I'm trying to take parts that should be other people's. Lonnie, I should have just given it to you, huh? Lonnie's our secretary, you know. Like, Lonnie could have done that for me. And sometimes she leaves early because she's like, I don't have anything else to do. And stupid me, I'm like, I'm going to do this, you know. And I feel like this is kind of the attitude. I didn't tell Lonnie that she was worthless. But in a kind of a sense, that's what I said when I told myself that I could take care of this. So does that make sense there? You may not consciously say that somebody's worthless, but there is the problem of taking on too much. I'm looking at you, Tom, because Tom is one of our elders, and Tom is like one of the most giving, he's like getting embarrassed and everything, but he has got such a servant's heart, and he takes on so much. I mean, he comes out in here and he mows the grass and he organizes who's going to be up here praying and giving communion and things like that. And then he does men's ministry, and then he's an elder. And I look at him. I was thinking about this last night. I'm like, Tom, you're stopping some of the things that you're doing. I'm just saying that right now. There are some things you're just going to stop because we need you not to burn out. We need you not to get, you know, all frazzled because you're doing too much. That's what happens when we do too much. That's what happens when we have this type of attitude that we can do everything. That our gift is so great and grand that we don't need those little other gifts that are around us. And we end up getting burnt out. We end up, awful things happen. The body suffers. Awful things happen. So what I'm really trying to get at is here is you may not have the conscious attitude that you're saying your gift is better than others, but your actions can actually say that. I learned that a long time ago in youth ministry. We had a lot of, when I first began here, we had a lot of helpers, a lot of youth ministry workers. And I was new in the youth ministry. And so I was like doing everything. And my youth workers just kind of start dropping off. I'm going, what's going on here? You know, I talked to Walt about it. I have all these youth leaders and they're dropping off. And he goes, well, are you giving them something to do? And I'm like, well, I mean, they show up and aren't they supposed to be with the kids? And he goes, but Walt told me, he goes, everybody needs something to do, you know? And then you read a scripture like this, like it's not only does everybody need something to do, everybody needs to be using their gift is what it is. And I just wasn't, I didn't have a clue about that, you know? So we need to see each other as equals, and that all of our gifts, small or great, are equally important. Whether you can sing or play a guitar to whether you make good coffee, that's the only thing you can do, that's awesome, you know? And you guys know it. You come here early in the morning, and you're all sleepy and groggy, and some of you walk down there to the fellowship hall, and Lori is there, she's got coffee, she's got muffins, and that just makes things better, doesn't it? Always makes things better for me. And you know what, here's kind of a crazy thing too. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, you can have great worship. I think we had great, I'm not tooting my horn. I just really felt like we had great worship today. And I'm talking about, I'm not even listening to the worship team. I was listening to you guys and I was just like, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. Everybody was singing, everybody was into it. But you know, you can have a new person come in through these doors and we could have the best worship in the world. And it really not make the difference of whether they want to come back or not. But you can have that person come in and have somebody go up to them and say, hey, my name is Brian. Haven't seen you here before. Hey, my name is so-and-so. Hey, we've got coffee and donuts in the back. Can I buy you one or get one for you? So you walk back there and you get them a cup of coffee and a donut and you spend a little time talking to them. And all of a sudden, they feel welcome. And that small, simple gesture, because Lori provided coffee and donuts back there, that small, simple gesture pulls the visitor in and shows them, hey, this is a great place to be. The little gift was the one that outshined the greater gift. All gifts are equal. I know I'm hammering this to death. I want us to understand this, though. All gifts are equal. All gifts are needed. And the truth is, no, actually, I got ahead of myself. I was pushing buttons, weren't I? You guys are getting sneak peeks here. Man. As we go on in this passage, 22 and 25, this is cool because God understands human beings much more than we understand ourselves. God knows that we're going to look at certain gifts and we're going to place a higher value on them, and we're going to look at other gifts and we're going to place a lower value on them. He knows this. This is a human thing, okay? And so, I love what Paul says here in verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I mean, these are the parts that if they weren't there, nothing would get done. You know, if we didn't have somebody cleaning the toilets and cleaning the church, what would the church look like? People wouldn't even want to come in. They wouldn't even want to walk through the doors. You know, there's some smell coming from the bathroom because somebody forgot to flush the toilet. You know, I'm sorry. It happens, though, you know. And we got somebody who takes care of that. You know, somebody goes in there and cleans it up. You know, or somebody, you know, after CR, we've had excellent food, great cooking going on. Thank you very much. It was excellent Friday. Great cooking going on. But nobody is there to wash the dishes. You know? And I think CR people would be like, oh, I think we'll go to the CR in Lake Havasu instead of here tonight. You know? I mean, these are little things, you know, somebody cutting the grass, somebody doing the weeding. You know, if we didn't have a sound person, Mary filled in for Noah, if we didn't have a sound person, you know, it would be awful on Sunday morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? These little tiny gifts
are
indispensable gifts. They are so needed. And without them, things would not run right. There would be huge distractions in the worship service. There would be distractions. There would be things that would really push people away from the church instead of draw them through the church. You know, so God says, on the contrary, the parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor on them. I don't know if you've noticed that we've tried to do that here at KCC. Not that anybody that we've bestowed honor on we think has a lesser gift or talent or ability, you know. But we try to do this Servant's Heart Award, and we try to pick people who have dedicated themselves, who don't get a lot of praise, who don't get a lot of encouragement, and we try to pick them and bring them up here and say, listen, we see what you've been doing. We know how much time and energy you've been putting into this, how much sacrifice has taken, and we want to honor you. And it's those who have said, I don't need the honor. I'm up here in front of you every day. My ego gets boosted up enough. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't, because you're not laughing. I'm just joking about that, okay? Okay? But I don't need the greater honor. I'm up here in front of you guys. You know, I'm singing this. I don't need the greater honor. It's those people who have what we consider to be lesser gifts. They're the ones that need the greater honor. You know, yesterday I was walking down the hall. I was setting up these tables after the funeral. And Tanya had a meeting going on with the Sunday school teachers. And I popped my head and I kind of waved. And then as I was bringing tables in here, I thought, you know what, I should really go in there and just tell the teachers how much I really appreciate them. Well, I didn't, because they were having so much fun, and I didn't want to interrupt them. I mean, there was a lot of laughing going on and stuff, and I didn't want to interrupt them. But I was just thinking to myself, I need to go in there and say something. You know what? I don't even need to go in there and say something. Guess who else needs to go in there and say something? Every single one of you. Every once in a while, you just need to stop, and you need to thank the teacher for what they're doing. You need to thank Andrew for cleaning the church. Yeah, he gets paid a little bit, but he doesn't get paid a lot. You need to thank Tom, who's, you don't even know it, but he's out there mowing the lawn and taking care of weeds and stuff like that. You need to go up and say thank you to the sound people and the people who are running Easy Worship. Those people need the greater honor.
Thank you for thinking about.
Yes. Ken Brown, thank you. You're awesome. God compensates for any inequality that is in the body, any inequality that we humans impose. You know, he goes on and says, in those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. In our unpresentable parts, parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be, what? No division in the body, that there may be no division, but that the members may have the same care for one another. The same care for one another. And then he goes on and says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. This is what I'm hearing Paul saying. Okay? If one member suffers, all suffer. Why? If one member cannot or does not do their job, they do not use their talent, their ability, or their gift, the entire body is made lame and suffers with. I think every church is lame. Maybe that's not the right phrase. Do you know what I mean? I think every church is crippled. Let me use that word. I think every church is crippled because there is no church in America or in this world, well, maybe there are small churches, but who have 100% of the people doing 100% of the work. You know what I'm saying? Most churches, they struggle with this. I mean, this is statistically has been proven that, like I said last week, 80% of the work gets done by only 20% of the people. And just think about that. 80% of the work by 20% of the people. Only 20% of the church is doing 80% of the work. What's the other 80% doing? Well, part of that, major part of that 80%, I believe, is not doing anything. But showing up on Sunday morning, going to a Bible study, showing up to an event, just think what the church could accomplish if all of us were doing our part. If all of us were using our gifts, our abilities, our talents, just think what this church, what KCC, could accomplish. I want to be a church that is the least crippled of all. I mean, we're always going to be crippled to a certain extent. And the awesome thing is God compensates. Just like the real body does, that when the body is missing an arm or a hand or a foot or something like that, we compensate, right? And we do compensate. But the fact is when you're crippled, it is harder to get things done. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. If we are crippled, we can't get the things that God wants us to do. God wants this church to go throughout this city, and I really believe this, wants us to be a light to the city of Kingman. He wants each one of us to be actively involved in trying to share the good news with other people. And we do that in two ways. We do that personally, but we do it as a church as well. We've got events that happen throughout the year that are wonderful events, great opportunities to invite people to and show them just how awesome and fun being a Christian can be. The only way we can do that is if everybody is doing their part. Everybody is using their gift and their talent so that we are as whole and complete of a body as we possibly can be. Truth is, there really has to be a variety of people with a variety of gifts in order for the body to function properly. If you think about it, I mean, look how God has designed our body. It is amazing when I really think about it. When I really think about just the intricacy and all the things that we can do as human beings, I mean, the way we have progressed, the way that we have, it amazes me that a person with a brain and two hands and two feet can do what we've done. I mean, we've learned how to fly. We've gone to the moon. It's quite amazing if you think about it. But it's because God has designed us to have five fingers, to have an opposable thumb, to have ears that hear, to have a nose that smells, to have eyes that see, to have a brain that thinks, to have legs that can walk. I mean, God has designed us. It's so amazing. It is just simply amazing. There has to be a variety of body parts in order for our bodies to work, right? So there has to be a variety of gifts, talents, and abilities within the church for the church to work. So some people have to have the what is deemed to be the lesser gifts, and some people have to have what is deemed to be the greater gifts. That's just the way it is. That doesn't make any gifts less important. That's just the way it has to be. There has to be someone who stands up here and preaches, right? And honestly, I don't think there is too many people I've talked to who are willing to take this job. Kelly, no? You're shaking your head, no? All right. I've even asked Ken, you know, to come up and preach, and he's just comfortable doing communion, and that's about it. So, now, I think Tyler's trying to steal my job. Every time I walk in my office, he's sitting on my desk, but that's enough. This is the truth. Be content. Be content with what God has given you. God has gifted it to you. It's a gift He's given to you. Be content with it. And use it to the best of your ability to glorify Him. Does that make sense? You know what? I've discovered over the years that if you are faithful using your small gift, somehow it blossoms into a bigger gift. If you're faithful in using that small gift, somehow it blossoms into a bigger gift. There's a saying in ministry. As a minister, as a servant of God, you work yourself out of your job. And you know why that is? Because I think when you're faithful with your small gift, God prepares you for the bigger gift. If I, as a youth pastor, it's been awesome as being a youth pastor for 15 years. Now I can pass on some of what I've learned some of the things I've learned from mistakes I've made, so I can pass it on to Ryan. And it's kind of neat just being able to then see him kind of do the things that I did well, and then also do better at the things I didn't do well. You know? It's kind of neat, but I think that's, God said, Brian, you were faithful as a youth pastor for 15 years, 14 years. It's time to give you a bigger gift, bigger ability. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? So you may think that your gift is so small, but if you just find contentment with it and do the best that you can, I really believe that's going to blossom. And I think that's part of the reason why Paul says at the end of this chapter, desire the greater gifts. There's nothing wrong with desiring the greater gifts, but be content with what you have and do the best that you can with it. Amen? Amen. Here's some things to think about. And the reason why I wanted to do communion at the end of the service today was partly because, and I think God orchestrated this, partly because nobody was prepared to do it. Again, we had miscommunication. But I did this last night, and I thought, wow, this is, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about when we share communion together, the Lord's Supper together, that we ought to really be thinking not just about what God has done for us, but we ought to be thinking about the body, about the church as well. And you know, do we have issues with people in the church? Well, here's your opportunity, because I think something that you need to be thinking about is, do you have an issue with the church as a whole? Are you guilty of blaming KCC? If you're not doing your part, no matter how small you think your gift is, you're crippling us. You're crippling us. We want to be a whole body. And you know what? If you would just be faithful and do what God has called you to do and use the gift that He's called you to use, we're going to honor you and we're going to thank you because we need you. What gift, talent, ability are you withholding today? Or have you been withholding for some time? And today is an opportunity to get involved. Are you going to take it? What I want to do is, worship team, I'm sorry. I want you to come up here, please. And we're going to play that song, Surrender, again. And ushers, if you would get ready to pass out communion. As we play the song, I want you to take communion on your own today. It's going to be passed out. Take it on your own today. As we play the song, we might play it one, we might play it two times, I don't know. But I would ask you to really take this opportunity that you have and have a meeting with Jesus today and ask Him to show you if you're being faithful in doing what He's called you to do, if you're being faithful using your gift, and if you're not, ask Him. You know, sometimes we don't know what our gift is. And I'm going to explain after the service here, when we do the ministry prayer, I'm going to explain these sheets that I've passed out to you, but maybe we can help you discover what your gift is. Okay? But at this point, I just want you to spend some time with Jesus, talking with Him, communicating with Him. Are you guilty of making the body lame? Are you not using a gift? It's time to get right. It's time to get right with God, too, on this issue. Let's pray, and then we'll play the song. Father God, we come before You this morning, and I just thank You for giving us Your Word. I thank You for just being so blunt with us at times, and help us not to rebel against the bluntness. If I came off as being too blunt, God, but help us to really think about whether we really are serving You, whether we are really doing what You've called us to do, whether we are really being the best disciples that we can be. And I just pray as we take this time to think that You would reveal things to us. And as we're singing this song, Surrender, that we would surrender ourselves to You and make a decision to get involved today. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.